Grab your lunch and get ready to listen to conversations that connect, communicate, and collaborate with our local Catholic community. You are listening to Epiphany. Here's your host, communications evangelist and certified life and leadership coach, Vanessa Denha Garmo.
Well, good Monday afternoon on this September 29th. It's 81 degrees is going to be high today. Yes, summer is still with us despite the fall calendar. Sunny and very warm today. A sunny day on Tuesday, 81 degrees. Getting a little colder, but not much. Wednesday and Thursday, we'll get in the 70s, the low 70s, and then back up to the 80s. On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, actually getting up to 86 on Saturday and 85 on Sunday. It's going to stay in the 80s for several days after that until probably on October 8th when it's going to dip back into the 70s and mid-60s. So the fall weather is definitely on its way here in Southeast Michigan. For right now, we can still enjoy some warm temperatures. And it's like beach-like and going to the pool, definitely. Today we also celebrate the Feast of the Holy Archangels, Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. St. Gabriel is the best known for announcing the forthcoming births of John the Baptist and Jesus. In the book of Tobit, we read about St. Raphael, who disguised as a human, helps Tobias restore the sight of his blind father and releases a young woman, Sarah, whom Tobias later married, from spiritual bondage. And St. Michael, the Prince of Heavenly Hosts, is a warrior saint who battles evil. Pope Leo VIII understood that St. Michael is the guardian of all the church. This is why he turned to the archangel in the 1880s. When materialism, secularism, and anti-supernaturalism were gaining strength to fight against these forces, and it is said inspired by a private revelation to him while offering Mass on October 13, 1884, he wrote the prayer to St. Michael, ordering it to be said after low or spoken Masses. The prayer, of course, is, "St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. O Prince of Heavenly Hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen." So let's pray to our archangels today for intercessory prayer on their feast day. We're going to be talking to two guests today here in Epiphany. Mary is a pro-life activist and speaker. She's a team member of Project Rachel and Entering Canaan, both of which are ministries to help those who have experienced an abortion. Mary Lockwood speaks openly about her past with hope of helping other men and women who have walked the same path. She's a parishioner of Our Lady of Good Counsel in Plymouth. So we'll be talking with her today. And then Susan Ciancio will also be joining us today. She's the editor of America Life League's Celebrate Life magazine and the director of All's Culture of Life Studies program. We'll be talking about how every October, because it's Respect Life Month, the Culture of Life Study programs host a pro-life essay contest. So we'll be talking about that, something that kids in 3rd to 12th grade can participate in. So we'll get all the details from her today, Susan Ciancio, here on Epiphany. I also wanted to share with you today's commentary from a Catholic perspective as we look at the reading today, the gospel reading today, and Catholic Daily Reflections. And of course, I, like always, like to sprinkle in a coach's commentary and Epiphany insights here. So we're looking at an excerpt from the Gospel of John. "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. In heaven we'll see all things as God sees them. That full perspective will be beyond glorious. And among the many things that will amaze us from the perspective of heaven is this incredibly powerful way that the celestial beings participate in the bringing forth of the kingdom of God. The seraphim, the cherubim, thrones, dominions, virtues, powers, principalities, archangels, and guardian angels all cooperate with God's grace in ways similar to how every member of an orchestra works together to produce a single piece of beautiful music. Of course, God is the conductor. But these celestial beings participate in the grand fulfillment of the will of God, acting as living instruments of His divine grace. So think about that as we think about the feast day of the archangels. Today's feast honors three of the greatest archangels mentioned in Scripture, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. The archangel Michael is described as a protector in the Old Testament book of Daniel, and is one who does battle with Satan in the books of Revelation and Jude. In Revelation, Michael casts Satan out of heaven along with other fallen angels. The archangel Gabriel is spoken also in the book of Daniel as one who interprets Daniel's vision. In the New Testament, he's identified as the one who appears to the high priest of Zechariah while Zechariah is offering sacrifice in the temple. In that appearance, Gabriel revealed to Zechariah that his wife would have a child, even though she was advanced in years. Gabriel is perhaps best known as the one sent to the Blessed Virgin Mary to reveal to her that she will become the mother of the Savior of the world. Lastly, the archangel Raphael is referred to in the Old Testament book of Tobit, and is said to have been sent to bring healing to Tobit's eyes. I often ask Archangel Gabriel to intercessory prayer and protection as a communications evangelist and strategist and consultant in the work I do in coaching to guide my work with my clients and the work I do here in ministry and Catholic radio. So as we honor these three archangels, we can be certain that they are three of a countless number of other angelic beings who cooperate with God, bringing forth His grace and His will into our world. Try to imagine that profound truth. Some angelic beings build up the kingdom of God by devoting their existence to the perpetual worship of God before His throne. The highest of these are the seraphim. Other angelic beings build up the kingdom by bringing forth God's grace and truth to us intervening in our lives in accord with God's will. These are especially the guardian angels. The archangels, three of whom we honor today, especially have the task of communicating to us the most important messages and graces from God. So let's reflect today upon the glorious reality of the whole host of celestial beings. Specifically, call upon the mediation of these three celestial beings whose name, as we know, are Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, as well as upon the mediation of our guardian angels and all other celestial beings. By doing this, we not only entrust ourselves to their caring, loving care, but we also make an act of faith in God by expressing our belief that God has chosen to use the celestial beings to bring forth His kingdom. So I always ask my guardian angel to guide me in doing the will of God. I teach my daughter that. Ask your guardian angel to pray for you, guide you to seek the will of God in your life. What He's called you to do in this world. How He's created you to be. Let you fulfill that creation that He created you to be. What did He create you to do and be? What gifts did He give you? Don't stray from that. He gave you the foundations through your natural talents and your charisms. That's what I love coaching, centered around our natural talents and our charisms, especially when I do coach clients who have a faith-based foundation and want that at the central part of their coaching. Regardless of what we're coaching on, we can coach on their leadership, their careers, their career transition, building teams, but God created us with these wonderful gifts. Ask your guardian angel to guide you into using those gifts for the greater glory, for the glory of God, for the greater good, for your vocation, for your career path. By themselves, angels are powerless to act, but since they act only in unison with the will of God, their mediation is as powerful as the grace of God, since it is God who works through them. Acknowledge them today, call upon their mediation, and profess your faith in the glorious work that they will do to build up God's kingdom through you. By asking them, we're helping building up God's kingdom by using our gifts and our talents for the greater good and for the glory of God. Something I have to remind myself all the time. I've had these little epiphany moments of where my coaching career is going. And I really want to help people identify what these gifts are that God has given them individually, their charisms. And I want them I want to help them develop their own leadership within their own careers. Help them figure out where the career paths are. If you're just entering the workforce, maybe you're in career transition. We're all blessed. We have these tools. Let's use them. Let's figure out how what God created us to do in this world for His glory. Most glorious archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, please do come to my aid. I entrust myself, my family, our church, and the entire world to your loving mediation. Please bring forth God's grace into our lives. Communicate God's word and His holy will. Protect us from all harm and bring healing to those in need. Angels of God, pray for us. Jesus, I trust in you. It is 10 minutes past the hour here in Epiphany on this Monday afternoon. Don't go away. Our first guest will be joining us.
Hi, I'm Ed Bahura. Are you kids struggling with school? Give them the boost they need with Sylvan Learning Centers. Our experienced tutors make learning fun and effective. And for a limited time, get the first month of tuition at 50% off. Call us now at 1-800-EDUCATE. Don't let this amazing offer pass you by. That's 50% off the first month at Sylvan Learning Centers, where brighter futures begin. Enroll today.
I might have found a church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going. It's not as scary as I thought it was. It's a much more warm and open place, and God really is about love. It's not about the rules and the things that I remember as a young child. It really is about the love that God has for each one of us that's so deep and wonderful.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
This is Cy Kellett. Join me for Catholic Answers Live. It's 2 hours dedicated to Catholic apologetics and evangelization. Designed for Catholics and non-Catholics alike, it's your opportunity to hear from and talk with some of the leading apologists and theologians in the church today. You've got questions? We've got Catholic answers. Catholic Answers Live, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Andrew Chambers from Your Choice Direct Care in Brighton. I practice reproductive restorative medicine, offering women a natural, hormone-free approach that remains faithful to church teaching. As part of our reproductive medicine package, we provide comprehensive hormone evaluations at deeply discounted cash prices, focusing on understanding your body and restoring healthy ovulation. Visit yourchoicedirectcare.com or call 810-224-5300 and get your first month free today.
We're back here at Epiphany on this Monday afternoon, and we have a returning guest to Epiphany. Always a pleasure to talk to Mary Lockwood. Mary's a pro-life activist speaker. She's a team member of Project Rachel and Entering Canaan, both of which are ministries to help those who have experienced an abortion. And she's here to talk with us about Project Rachel hosting a healing retreat for women who have suffered an abortion. It's happening on October 4th. Mary, always a pleasure to have you on Epiphany.
Well, thank you, Vanessa. Thank you for having me on and the opportunity to speak about a most important healing retreat for post-abortive women.
So let's talk about this. What does this entail exactly?
Well, it's a gift to any woman who has suffered an abortion, and we will have a testimony, a sharing of a testimony. Then we're going to have a video, and we offer lunch, and there's an opportunity for adoration, and then confession and mass at the end of the day. It's just a very beautiful day of healing. And Jesus shows up, and Jesus just, it's the balm for any woman's heart who is suffering because of a wrong decision. But sometimes we make decisions when we feel that we're backed into a corner and there is no other choice. And that's what I did. So this day is just beautiful. It starts at 9 o'clock and we go until 5:30. So Mass is at the end of the day, which kind of fulfills your Sunday obligation, if you will. And Project Rachel is just a beautiful ministry offered through the it's a national ministry, but We have recently, in the last 2 or 3 years, it's become very active to help women in the Archdiocese of Detroit. So it's open to any woman. It is a Catholic ministry, but we certainly wouldn't turn anyone away looking for healing.
Can you explain how valuable is it for these women to be on retreat with each other?
Right. Well, it is very valuable, Vanessa, because you realize that you are not alone, that many of us are sisters in Christ and we suffer with the same wound. So, I don't know, when I was wallowing in my misery and my guilt and my sinfulness, I didn't think anyone would understand. I didn't think anyone else had gone through what I went through.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly self-directed misery and sinfulness, but it's certainly, we have a church, we have a faith that believes in mercy and forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I think women need to hear that they are, our sin does not define us, basically is what I'm trying to say. And it did define me for many, many years. And the healing that Jesus has waiting for each and every woman is there is no sin that is not forgiven. So I think just to be with each other and to have a priest there to offer confession if you so desire, and then to have Mass. And we have a beautiful ceremony where we honor our children by placing a rose at the foot of the altar, and we have an opportunity to place our child's name in a book of life that is, it just gives your children that you chose to abort, it gives them dignity, and it gives you just a feeling of mercy and forgiveness. So the day is quite beautiful.
So, you know, and so the healing process in itself, is this like a several days together, or is it one day? I didn't catch that part because I want to know what the process.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's just a one day, and, you know, there's other ministries out there that offer a weekend retreat, which is wonderful too. But sometimes women just can't get away for the entire weekend. Sometimes it's a hidden sin, so we have told no one about it. So to just all of a sudden go away on a weekend is questionable to our loved ones who are around us. And it's just the one day, and it's a beginning for women. It doesn't mean you walk away feeling that, you know, everything is fine and you're totally healed. I used to say to women, you know, if you went to a healing retreat, you would be healed. I don't say that anymore because it is an ongoing process. I don't think we're ever really healed, but we can move on. And we know that the power of mercy and forgiveness and how powerful that is, because like myself, I held that in for over 20 years. So I looked like everything was good. I looked like I had it all together. But I was really dying inside. And until I faced my abortion for what it was, I was stuck. I was stuck spiritually, physically. I was stuck. Again, I look like I had it all together, but I was broken inside, as many women are. And God is waiting for you. Jesus has his arms open. Mary has her arms open for you. And we would love to see you at the retreat if this is something that you are ready to do.
Yeah.
And you have to be ready. You have to be ready to receive God's mercy. But it's always there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, God's mercy is always there. We just have to be open to it. So,
you know, Mary, you said it's a process, and that makes sense. You're not going to go to this healing and expect to be fully healed and move on with your life. I mean, any trauma in some sort takes time, right?
Yeah.
But this seems like it's like the first step to that healing. What are the obstacles that get in the way of women attending?
Usually ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's always, we find that many times women don't want to say out loud, I have had an abortion. Mm-hmm. I think that's a first step, and you'll hear other women say that and feel it and surrender it to the foot of the altar. So to face our sinfulness and to be able to move on, and sometimes we don't know we're as stuck as we are.
That takes self-awareness. Yeah. You're right. That's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think I was stuck. I thought I was fine until I started talking to other people, and I knew what I had done was wrong. And I was in a women's Bible study, a Catholic Bible study, and there was some conversation about Evangelium Vitae, which is a beautiful encyclical. And it's talked about how the church understands that sometimes we make decisions and that sometimes, but the church forgives us. God forgives us. Mary is standing there with open arms. So when I heard that, I thought, oh, my goodness, my church, my Catholic church that I grew up with understands my shame. So it was a real moving point for me to be able to face my abortion for what it was.
So how can people register, Mary? What do they do?
They can register by calling me. I'm doing the intake for the registrants, and they can call me at 734-395-0677, and you can either call me or text me, or they can certainly go on our website, which is EC, which stands for Entering Canaan. So it's EC. Brighton, M-I, at gmail.com. Or you can call Project Rachel, which is 888-722-4355. Any one of those avenues, you can certainly register and learn more about the retreat. If for some reason you have additional questions, we would love to see you. So that you can move on in your life. And is it an easy process? No, not at all. But to know that you have other women there who can understand what you've been through, who can understand your suffering, your misery, your shame. Shame is a terrible thing that holds you back. And I know shame is the work of the devil. And, You can't help but feel shameful about sin in general.
Sure.
So, I know Father John used to say, you know, why does Jesus hate sin? Because it's just not good for you. So true. As simple as that.
Yeah.
So we welcome any Catholic woman who would like to come, or even if you're not Catholic, we would love to see you. It's a start.
Yeah, amen to that. And what's been the feedback, Mary Lockwood, for the women who have attended in the past?
Oh, they just are, you know, they come in, their heads are down and their shoulders are shrugged. And I'll tell you, Vanessa, they leave a different person. They leave with their head high, and they know that they are loved, that they are accepted, and that God's mercy is for them. So the feedback has been, I never knew the church was like this. I never knew I could be forgiven. I never knew that I was worthy of God's mercy. I never knew there were so many other women. And, you know, Vanessa, we're now seeing a different group of women coming forth for a little bit more of an immediate healing, and that is those women who have taken the abortion pill. And many of them are young.
Wow.
Many of them are very young, and they're seeking healing pretty quick, which is wonderful that they are, because, I mean, it's a terrible thing to self-administer your abortion. There's different triggers that woman goes through that maybe a clinical abortion you do not. Because you go somewhere to get a clinical abortion, but the abortion pill is administered by you at home, in your own bathroom. And that in and of itself, every time you pass that bathroom, you think about it. So it's a different kind of healing. I mean, trauma is trauma and healing is healing, but it is a different. So we welcome anyone, regardless of what kind of abortion you've had, to seek healing.
Yeah. You know, that's a really good point, is that the abortion pill has really brought this right into your own home, and you can't escape that trauma. Now, it's like you can avoid passing by that abortion clinic, but you live in that home. And I think you make such a really great point, and I wonder if there's been any kind of like research or study on the trauma that it's done. It's fairly new, but I would think I could see that happening in the future, that we start researching the trauma as it relates to having an abortion in your own home. What a great point to make, and how tragic.
Right. It really is. We had a woman come last year, the year before. She was probably about, I think it was 9 weeks after her abortion, and it was with the abortion pill. She was in her mid-20s and knew that what she had done was awful, but she said, I was coerced into it, and I thought it would be very easy. She said it was not easy. It was traumatic. She said it was the worst thing I've ever done in my life. Mm. And her sentiment was to help other women, young women like herself, deal with it. The fact that they have had self-administered the abortion pill. Yes, they paid for it. Yes, they had to go somewhere to get it, but maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe you can mail order it, which is awful. Just awful.
Yeah, it is awful. Mary Lockwood is who we're talking to here on Epiphany on this Monday afternoon. Project Rachel is hosting a healing retreat for women who have suffered an abortion on October 4th. Mary, you know, for people listening this morning who may not have had an abortion but know somebody who had one and believe that this retreat would be helpful to them, what could they say to that woman?
I sent the flyer out to all of the women in my contact list, and not just the women but the men too, because everybody knows someone who has had an abortion, or maybe they were indirectly involved in an abortion. Maybe they drove somebody to the abortion clinic and they need healing from that. So what I would say to them is, you know, we're offering through the hands of Jesus mercy and forgiveness. And maybe you don't realize how stuck you are spiritually and physically, but God knows. God is waiting. He would love to see you there, because once you begin that initial healing, your life will change. Mine did drastically. I was pro-choice.
Yeah.
I thought it was my right. And, you know, it's amazing what God has done.
How much
and
is
I always say,
big pop? Oh, go ahead, Barry.
I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead. No.
I always say, you know, it used to be my testimony. Now I when I give a talk, I say it's Jesus' story, not mine. He's just using me. And it's all about mercy and forgiveness. So.
Mm. And Mary, how important is it to be part of this ministry in your ongoing healing process?
Oh, it's beautiful. It really is beautiful. I'm studying to be a spiritual director, and one of my goals is to sit with men and women who have the suffering of an abortion on their heart. So it's beautiful to see God's work at hand. It's beautiful to see them come in one way and leave another. Do we always see that? No, but you know that you have planted a seed and that you're a seed planter, and let God do the work. So.
Mm.
It's a beautiful thing, and it is part of my healing. It truly is, because I know where they are. I can understand where they are. I know how stuck you are, and I don't say that. Many times I just listen, And sometimes they just need to know that there is someone else out there that understands how they feel, the regret, the shame, the feeling that they're not forgiven.
Yeah, that support is invaluable. Yes. Mary Lockwood is here with us today. Any last words, Mary, about Project Rachel and the retreat or anything else that you want to share with our listeners here on Epiphany before we let you go?
Well, I'm just very grateful to the Catholic faith that that we have. And I know there's many healing ministries out there, but this is really sacramental because it drives women through healing to the sacrament of reconciliation. And what better way to start than to have that available at the retreat for them to seek, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's been a week since you've been through reconciliation or if it's been 30 years. It was 20 years for me.
Wow.
So I mean, the feeling when I walked out of that confessional was unexplainable. It was such a lifting. It gave me such freedom to be who God created me to be. So if you're interested in coming, it's this Saturday, October 4th. We start at 9 o'clock until 5:30. The day will offer a testimony, a video. We'll have lunch together. We'll have adoration available if you so desire, confession. And we'll end the day with Mass. And the location is undisclosed until you register. It's in a northern suburb of Detroit. So we'd love to see you there. And the cost of this is $25, but we don't turn anyone away. So if you want, you can pay that day or you can send a check into the Archdiocese of Detroit. But money is not the issue. The issue is God's waiting to heal you.
Mm. Mary Lockwood, thank you so much for being with us here today in Epiphany and sharing this important story with our listeners today. And I'm going to post this on my communications evangelist coach, Vanessa Dunhagarma, public Facebook page. You can follow me there. And if you want to get a link as well, and I'll put it up in the archive section of Epiphany at AveMariaRadio.net. Mary, thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you, Vanessa. God bless you for your work.
God bless you and all that you do. We'll be right back here in Epiphany. Don't go away.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift from our day sponsor, Pat Schaefer, who would like to wish her son, Michael Schaefer, a happy birthday today. Michael is a blessing in our lives. He's an excellent son and brother and devoted husband and father of three little boys and one little girl. We pray he has a blessed birthday today.
You can be a day sponsor too. Call toll free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
Another year has come and gone, and whether you like it or not, Uncle Sam requires you to make an accounting.
Perhaps it's time to call Myler and Zipka. They work with you to legally minimize your tax bill and identify ways to reduce future taxes. Eliminate the nagging feeling that you're paying more taxes than you need to. Call Ken Zipka today at 734-930-5500. Myler and Zipka. Integrity, excellent value, and people dedicated to a long-term relationship. 734-930-5500.
Looking for a retreat venue for your youth group, sports team, ministry, or staff event? St. Francis Retreat Center in DeWitt sits on a picturesque 95-acre property complete with three large conference rooms, two chapels, two dining rooms with commercial kitchens, meeting spaces for smaller groups, overnight lodging, and a professional staff to make your event a success. Call 517-669-8321 or visit stfrancis.ws to book your event today.
And we're back here in Epiphany on this Monday afternoon. Susan Ciancio is joining us, editor of America Life League's Celebrate Life magazine, the director of All's Culture of Life Studies program. And we're talking about October because it's Respect Life Month. The Culture of Life Studies program is hosting a pro-life essay contest, and she's here to talk with us about this. Susan, thank you for joining us here today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So give us an overview of how this contest even came to be.
Okay, well, several years ago we started it because we really wanted to hear the voices of children and what they are thinking, and we wanted to help them form their pro-life beliefs. So we thought it would be a great idea to get them motivated and to get them excited about just articulating what they think about some of the topics of today.
And so what grades is this? Like who could participate in this contest?
This year we opened it up to third and fourth graders. In the past we had just done middle school and high school. So this year it's from third grade all the way up through 12th grade. And we divide it into three categories. So it's third and fourth grade, and then fifth through eighth grade, and then ninth through 12th. So there are different categories for each student.
And what does the essay entail? Like, what are they expected to write? Are there, like, what are the guidelines, their, you know, criteria?
We have two prompts this year for each category. So the third and fourth graders are asked to use a Bible verse, and they're going to reflect upon that and talk about human dignity. Or they can research facts and write about the development of a preborn baby. It's very age appropriate, not anything to do with, you know, abortion or euthanasia or anything along those lines. We really just want them to start thinking about the dignity of the human person. Students in middle school are asked to write about the importance of moral courage and to give an example from either the Bible or a saint or a pro-life hero of today. And they are to talk about how they can defend the vulnerable, or they can research the development of a first trimester baby and discuss ways to protect them. And then students in high school, we're asking them to write about how to treat people with disabilities or babies with disabilities and to define authentic love and mercy, or they can interview parents of a child with a disability and discuss the inherent value of that child.
What are you hoping that the students gain from this process of getting involved in this contest? What do they take away from this experience?
Well, we really hope that they start to develop some moral courage and that they learn how to articulate their beliefs so they can defend them in front of friends, in front of peers, and as they grow, in front of a wider audience. It's so important to be able to have that moral courage and to talk about their pro-life values and the dignity of all human beings, because that respect for life is not something that we're seeing a lot of today.
Yeah.
And we really need kids to be able to express their thoughts and their feelings and to understand why every single person has dignity. So that's why with the younger kids, we start to talk about the fact that there is a baby when a mom is pregnant, and we want them to just see that humanity. So we build with that foundation, and as they grow, we talk about the more difficult topics, but and we really try to make it age appropriate, and we really want them to see the value and dignity of all human beings.
And we know that there's actually monetary and other prizes tied to this contest. Can you kind of share that with us too?
Sure. Yeah, there is a monetary prize for each of the winners, and there's first through third place and then an honorable mention. We also have a book for first place winners signed by Mark Hart. Each of the students in first through third place will get one of our lessons, and there's a lot of pro-life goodies, stickers, bookmarks, saints cards, things like that.
And so what's been some of the feedback or, you know, testimonial, so to speak, that you've received over the years from this contest?
Oh, we've had lots of teachers who are so excited that we talk about human dignity, because it's really not something that is taught in schools a lot of, especially in Catholic schools. You know, they teach a lot about Catholic history or sacraments or saints, things like that, but they don't really go into a lot of the pro-life beliefs, because there's just so much to teach. And that's what the Culture of Life Studies program tries to do, is to teach the value of every person and to teach kids how to respect people and how their actions really have an impact on others. And so because we have these different prompts that explain these things, it really helps kids internalize how they have to act toward other people, especially those who are different or who may be living with a disability or some other kind of issue. So teachers have been really excited because they just love the prompts. And we have several teachers who have given us, you know, 40 to 50 entries each year because they just love the contest.
Wow. That's awesome. And you're right. What I love what you explained earlier is how it gives these students, Susan, the tools to have these critical conversations with peers. You know, oftentimes they get intimidated because, unfortunately, you know, the pro-abortion side screams really loud. And so out of their screaming, they intimidate people who actually have facts and data to back up their beliefs and their arguments. But you have to go in there armed with the right information to have these critical conversations with love and charity. You can't just, you know, engage in a screaming match. You know, and so I love how you shared how this process, this experience for these students, give them that information they need to have these conversations with their peers.
Exactly, and that's why we chose some of these prompts. And this year, it's so great. We're always sponsored by the Institute for Excellence in Writing, but this year we're also sponsored by Contend Projects, which is an organization that's focused on teaching correct embryology to students. And we're also sponsored by Team Iron Will, which is an organization that champions people with Down syndrome, and they help give out therapy equipment to families who need it. So we're really excited that they have joined us in this, and we're hoping that through these organizations, kids can really come to understand that all people have value and every single person matters. Not one person has any less value than any other.
We're talking with Susan Ciancio here today. She's the editor of America Life League Celebrate Life magazine and the director of ALL's Culture of Life Studies program. And we're talking about the Culture of Life Studies program host, a pro-life essay. Susan, for people listening, how can either the students themselves or teachers listening, parents, how can they participate in this contest?
They can go to prolifeessay.com, and all of the submission guidelines are there. You can submit right online. If you're a teacher and you have multiple submissions, there's an email address for me, and you can just email them to me. We have lots of teachers who do that because it would be very time-consuming to submit them one by one. So we have lots of teachers who just email me, 30, 40, 50 essays. So that's fine. But, yeah, prolifeessay.com, that's where the prizes and submission guidelines and the prompts are.
Hmm. We're talking with Susan Ciancio today, and tell us about your background, Susan, as the editor of America Life League's Celebrate Life magazine and the work that you do in ALL Cultures of Life Studies program.
Oh, sure. I've been with American Life League for over 16 years now, and like you said, I'm the editor of their Celebrate Life magazine. It's a beautiful, full-color magazine that we put out four times a year, and it's filled with inspirational stories and educational articles that really just cover the wide range of culture of life topics, from abortion to euthanasia to IVF to respect for people with disabilities. It's a wonderful magazine. And the Culture of Life Studies program is our K-12 or pre-K-12 education organization that teaches the culture of life to kids in an age-appropriate way. We have standalone lessons that can be used in homes or schools or CCE programs, and they cover a wide range of topics from respect for people with disabilities to the pro-life saints and how you can emulate them. And they are just really great lessons to implement into your family life, into your school life, so that kids can build that culture of life. And they're all downloadable, so they're very easy to get off our website.
Mm. And Susan, what led you into the work that you're doing today? Give us a little bit of your background, your journey into this work.
Well, I have always been pro-life because I actually grew up with Judy Brown's children. Her daughter was in my grade growing up, and Judy Brown is the president of American Life League. So I always knew what abortion was from the time I was very small, and I always had a passion for protecting babies. And as I grew up, I went to college, majored in psychology and sociology, and did some work with people with mental illnesses, and really just saw the importance of treating them with dignity. And I worked with the homeless as well, and just saw some of the difficulties that people go through in life. And I started to work for American Life League in 2009, and just really found that that was the place where I want to be, protecting babies, protecting the vulnerable. And it's just been such an amazing journey to be able to help people understand the importance of caring for the people around them, and that we all have a voice, and helping people use their voice is so important.
Mm. God, that's such a good point. I mean, you know, we're in a world where open dialogue with love and compassion, respect, is being attacked in this country today. And we have to arm people, as many people, to engage in that kind of open dialogue and trying to understand where people are coming from, especially on the pro-life issues, Susan, you know, and trying to meet people where they're at and share truth with love and dignity. And I think that's so important. And this essay contest is just, you know, one way to do that. And that's what I love about that. We give people different tools to engage in the pro-life movement. And this is just one tool. And reaching kids younger and younger, I think, is so important, because we're in a world where kids are being indoctrinated instead of educated.
Exactly. And to be able to help them find their voice and to really just internalize that, the importance of taking care of other people. So they can do the research. You know, some of these prompts require them to do a little bit of research about the development of the preborn baby. And so they can see pictures of a baby growing, and they can see the beauty of that. They can write about it. They can learn the facts. And they can see that a lot of the lies that are being told today are things that they have to combat, and they can really understand that they have a voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, having a voice is so important today. We all have a voice, and thank God we live in America where we still have that freedom, and I pray we always have that freedom to speak with love and charity and honesty, and arm ourselves with the right information to have these open dialogues. We're talking with Susan Ciancio here today. She is the editor of America Life League Celebrate Life magazine. What is the upcoming issue going to be covering, Susan?
Of Celebrate Life magazine?
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Well, we have articles on, we have some on abortion, we have some on euthanasia, we have some on respect for people with disabilities. So, yeah, we're hoping to get that out soon. We don't have a next publication date, but we're hoping within the next month or so.
Mm. How has working in this enhanced your own faith journey?
Well, it certainly has helped me be bolder, I think. You know, it's easy to have pro-life beliefs and to live your Catholic faith when you're with your family or with your friends, but it's a lot harder to do in the wide, you know, in the public, on social media or in your community. And I have learned that while it's difficult, it's something that is so important to do. And so you take these steps, even if they're baby steps, and I think that's a good idea for everybody to kind of follow, is, you know, you don't have to jump in and do all sorts of great pro-life actions, you know, all at once. You can take baby steps and get a little bit more comfortable with showing your pro-life beliefs to your friends and to your family. And that emboldens you to speak out a little bit more each time, so that you don't have that fear. And that's one of the things that I've learned, is that I'm getting a lot better at articulating my thoughts when I'm around people that I don't really know, so that I don't feel as afraid to talk about them. And I hope that's really what other people can find, and that I hope that's what kids can understand after they've done our essay contest.
Susan Ciancio, any last words from you today for our listeners before we let you go here in Epiphany?
Well, just go to prolifeessay.com and look at the submission guidelines and encourage your kids or encourage your students to join, to enter our contest, because it's really an amazing way to help kids articulate their beliefs.
Amen to you and all that you do. Susan Ciancio, give us the website again to participate in that contest.
Prolifeessay.com.
God bless you, Susan, and all that you do. And thank you for being with us here in Epiphany.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
God bless you and all that you do. Susan Ciancio with us. Stay with us, everyone. We'll talk about who's coming up on Epiphany tomorrow.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. As a father who's helped homeschool my 10 children, I know the challenges you face. That's why you should check out Sylvan Learning Centers for personalized support tailored to your child's unique needs. Expert tutors in math, reading, and writing provide fun, interactive lessons with both in-person and online options that fit seamlessly into your homeschooling routine.
Visit sylvanlearning.com. Mention Dr. Ray for 10% off at participating centers.
For over 40 years, Leader Business in Ann Arbor has delivered top-quality copiers, printers, scanners, and software solutions, all backed by expert service. Rooted in faith and integrity, they ensure your operations run smoothly with fast response times and proactive maintenance. Join the many Catholic-owned organizations that trust Leader Business. Visit leaderbusiness.com or call 734-253-2534. Leader Business. Equip. Serve. Support.
Remember to take a minute this week to thank a priest you know for all the blessings he shares through his vocation. Our priests work tirelessly to bring us the sacraments and help us on our journey to heaven. Let's encourage them and express our gratitude for all of their sacrifices, like thank you for baptizing our children. Nominate your priest at thankyouforyourpriesthood.com. A new contest every month through September 2025. Brought to you by Diocesan, your Catholic advertising and communications company.
Looking for a trusted contractor for your exterior home improvements? Call locally owned Mighty Dog Roofing today for a quote on roofing, gutters, siding, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing uses premium products including Owens Corning shingles and James Hardy fiber cement siding, and they offer one of the best warranties in the industry through their OC Platinum Preferred status. Visit MightyDogRoofing.com today or call 833-MIGHTY-4. That's 833-MIGHTY-4.
Always a pleasure to spend my lunch hour with all of you here on Epiphany, listening, tuning in, and hopefully really enjoying the conversations we have with our guests. And thank you to Mary Lockwood for being with us here today. She is a pro-life activist talking about Project Rachel, hosting a healing retreat this Saturday, October 4th. If you know somebody who's post-abortive, or if you yourself are post-abortive, please consider registering for this retreat. It is up on my Communications Evangelist Coach Vanessa Denha-Garmo Facebook page. Will also have it in the Epiphany Archive section at AveMariaRadio.net. And if you know a young student interested in the Pro-Life Essay Contest, grades 3rd through 12th, you can also register for that contest, and we'll have that information up at Epiphany, in the archive section of Epiphany at AveMariaRadio.net. And thank you to Susan Ciancio for joining us here today, editor of America Life League's Celebrate Life magazine and the director of All Cultures of Life Studies program. It is the Culture of Life Studies program hosts a pro-life essay contest, of course, for kids in grades 3rd through 12th. And there's different criteria that they'll list out for you. And there are monetary prizes as well. So, coming up tomorrow on Epiphany, we have a couple guests joining us. We'll be talking with Monsignor James Patrick Shea, who will be with us to promote his upcoming talk at Sacred Heart Major Seminary on lay ecclesial ministers and the Jubilee Year. And then Wadeen Koenig-Bricker will also talk about her new book, Praying with the Saints. I started reading that. I really love it. She gives great snippets about the saints. She doesn't go into too much depth about their biography because there's so many books that you can get on biographies, but she talks a little bit, she gives you a brief synopsis of their life, and then she shares a prayer that saint prayed. And I'm going to incorporate this into my Friday prayer with my sisters. You know, I have six sisters, and we typically have prayers together every Friday morning via Zoom, and so I think I'm going to incorporate that in my Friday prayers with my sisters. I absolutely love it. I've already started reading it along with our Epiphany Book Club pick for October. And I'm very excited because the author is going to be joining us as well. So our next Epiphany Book Club, we don't have the flyer yet, but we'll get that for you. But we're going to be talking, we're reading, I started reading it already, Father Spitzer's book. Father Robert Spitzer's book, you all know him from EWTN, he's awesome, Christ, Science, and Reason, What We Can Know About Jesus, Mary, and Miracles, Christ, Science, and Reason, What We Can Know About Jesus, Mary, and Miracles. Jeff and I are reading that book along with Adora. Jeff and I will be discussing that book live on Epiphany with Father Spitzer for October. It is a wonderful book. I encourage you to pick up a copy. You can go to the Epiphany Book Club section. I'm sorry, Ave Maria Radio Book Club at AveMariaRadio.net. You can buy to your local Catholic bookstore as well. Go to the publisher. Don't forget to connect, communicate, and collaborate with your Catholic community. We are your local Catholic radio station. Don't go away. Coming up next, Dr. A.